up there, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, I'm not trying to, you look at that and you think, what is that not about? The greatest Sunday in history. Well, I need some help tonight, people. You know me, I cause chaos and all sorts, and I don't know why, how come I get invited back, but there you are. But I've put the greatest Sunday in history. What am I talking about? What's the greatest Sunday in history? The resurrection. Right. And Sunday is what day of the week? First day of the week. Yes, I'm going to... You're going to think, is he undermining our intelligence? First day of the week. And tonight we're going to look at four things. Yeah, don't worry. I'm going to look at your watch. We're not going to keep you long. We're going to look at four things that remind us or tells us why Sunday, so long ago, and even today, people, is the greatest Sunday in history. Well, it certainly was nearly 2,000 years ago. And under the four things we're going to look at, the first one is we're going to look at the miracle. All begins with M, helps you to remember, yeah? And we're going to see that in Matthew 28, all from Matthew 28, the miracle, the message. Thirdly, the misinformation. What misinformation? Well, we're going to find out. And finally, the mandate. What do we mean by that? Okay, everybody with me? Yep. I will get to a point where I say, right, I want you to tell me my four points, yeah? So you've got to listen carefully. I don't want you to get lazy to think, oh, it's all on the screen and I can switch off. All right. And you're not allowed to get your mobile phones and take pictures. Oh dear, they're naughty here, aren't they? Okay. Four simple points. The greatest Sunday in history. Our first point then, the miracle. Let's have a look at the reading. And some of these things you know. You don't need me to tell you, but do you know what, people? We need reminding. And I want you to go out here full of the Lord, rejoicing. Because our faith, the Christian faith, is unique. Why is it unique? I want someone to tell me. You could be on the street, you could be here, you could walk out there, and someone could say to you, why is it unique for the Christian? Why is our faith unique? Because Jesus is alive. Praise God, Tim. Jesus is alive. And that's why it's unique. Right, let's have a look. Matthew 28. Because it's important that we see this. First of all, look at the opening verses. It says here, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Well, do you think they were sad? Of course they were. Jesus had been taken. They thought, well, we're going to go to the tomb. So they make their way to the tomb. Let's read on. Let's have someone reading verse 2 for me. Nice and loud. Come on. If I don't want everybody looking to the carpet when I say I need a reader. Okay, so verse 2. Someone read, please, nice and loud. Verse 2.
And behold, there was a great... For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and brought back the stone to the door and sat on it.
Incredible. That's an amazing earthquake. Have you thought of that, people? Well, there was something in Leicester a few weeks ago. I think it was on the news as well. Where suddenly, I was in the kitchen, I was hungry. I couldn't hear a thing. My wife was in the lounge. She said, didn't you hear it? I said, no, love, I didn't. I was hungry. But anyway, but there was a movement. And when there's a movement, I've known movement before in Leicester. We know, but this time it was different. There was an earthquake. Don't worry, I'll try not to knock anything over. Tim and guys, don't worry. I know these are expensive and I know money's tight, but don't worry, I'll be very careful. But it's an incredible earthquake. And when this earthquake came, I want you all to picture it. There were these ladies, sad, going to the tomb. Amazing earthquake. And then we read on, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone back from the door and sat there. Verse 3. What was his countenance like? Let's have another reader, please. Verse 3, nice and loud.
His countenance.
Verse 3, Matthew 28.
His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow.
Right. This is different. What was I saying about Jesus's? What were we saying about Jesus's death and even his resurrection? It was different. What have we seen so far? There was a what? What was the first thing? There was a what? There was an earthquake. Secondly, after the earthquake, what was happening? See, I'm getting you all. You're not going to all sit there and watch me. I want to work you all. And I'll tell Nathan when I get back. Yeah, I've worked them. They won't want me coming back too often because I've worked them. Right, so earthquake. What? And then lightning? Yes? Angels, thank you. All those things. This is incredible. We've not even fully got to the miracle yet. We're getting there. Our first point was incredible what was going on. Right. So let's read on. Earthquake, angels. Right. What verse are we on now? Verse 4. What happened to those around? Verse 4. Let's have a read out.
And the gods shook for fear of him and became like dead men.
Incredible. The gods, these are men, big men, not like me, with, you know, nothing on me. You know, they were there, they made business. And suddenly, they were like, amen. See, this is extraordinary. How many times have we read it? We're reading it too fast, aren't we? Have we stopped to look? There he was in the tomb. Earthquake, lightning. Angels, God, they're not dead. It's incredible. Now, don't it's not on the plane. It's real. It's all there. In fact, we've read some of these verses, but I'm going to put them up. Right. All these things are happening. Right, let's just read on. So, verse 4, the gods shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Verse 5. Yeah? I need another reader, please. Nice and loud.
The angel answered and said to the
women,
"Do not be afraid, for I am only a messenger of God to you in Jesus' name."
Right. The angel knew exactly what was going on. I know you might be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. But verse 6. Well, I'll read that. This is wonderful. Look at verse 6, people. This is why our faith, verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen. Praise God. He's risen. And we can say tonight, we're serving a risen Saviour. And we'll say hallelujah. Praise God. What a Saviour. Come on, people. We rejoice in our God. What a God. What a miracle. What a miracle indeed. The stone, and I want you to look at that, what I've written on there, what we got. The stone was rolled away. You may think this sounds a bit strange. It's not. Not to let Jesus out, but to let people in to see the empty tomb. It was empty. It was empty. So Mary, the ladies, they were all going there. They're looking for the dead, but he's alive. And you know what? Because Jesus is alive, what does it make our faith? What can we say about our faith? Well, no, let me turn it around the other way. If Jesus was still dead, what would it mean for our faith? It would be dead. We'd be wasting our time. What's the point meeting here? Why are we paying money to use this building, people? You're wasting your money. Stop the direct debit you're being doing. Sorry, Nathan, we're going to stop it. It's all dead. But do you know what, people? It's not dead, is it? Sorry if I frighten you. Well, no, I'm not sorry. Praise God. Hey, he's alive. He's alive. And with all that, we rejoice in our Saviour, even this night. What a miracle. Well, I could go on so much, but I won't, because I promise you I'm going to keep it reasonably brief and to the point. The miracle. But then secondly, I want you to notice, not just the miracle, I want you secondly to notice the message. What was the message in verse 5 to 7. Well, look at this message here, because I've got here, look, I've got it. But the angel said to him, to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." And we've already said this, haven't we? "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay." And that's the ESV, just in case you're wondering. And what a message. And that's a message that we've got to tell the whole world. He is not dead. Sorry, he's alive. Yeah, you're with me, yeah. He's not dead, yeah, he's not dead, he's alive. And so when my Muslim neighbour, who often we have a good chat, and I say to him, he talked to me about Christianity, and I said, "What's going to happen to you, Eunice, when you die?" "Well, I don't know. I may come back as an animal, and I don't know." "Eunice, you may come back as an animal." I'm sorry to say this, we know one another well enough, but that's nonsense. And I hope I know him well enough so I could say that, not to offend you. So, you know what's going to happen to me when I die, Eunice? I'm going to heaven, new body. I didn't use the word incorruptible. I said different body. It won't die. You know, I won't have the pain that I'm feeling now. You know, the aches of pain, you look at me. Yeah, I'm 66, whether I look it or not, it's another subject. But, you know, sometimes I suddenly realise I can't do some of the things I used to do. I'm still a bit mad, but I still can't do it. I wake up in the morning and we all get that. But, you know, I says, when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to have a new body, incorruptible. Oh, as I said, I said a different body to it. And this is the blessing, this is the hope. This is what we go on, people. And, you know, in our church recently, boy, it's sad, you know. Oh, last December, a good friend of mine, in the summer, he was complaining about just having pain in his back and in his side, all over. And we said, go to the doctor. But he was afraid to go to the doctor. He just didn't want to go. You know, sometimes with fear, maybe some of you are maybe like that. Sometimes we can be like that. We think, oh no, we'll be all right. This pain will go. And we don't want to face up. So from July right through till August, I said, Kevin, you must go to the doctor. Well, in the end, he went. And he had cancer. And by September, October time, he was in hospital. Well, cut a very long story short. Come December, it really got almost inoperable. He was one of my best friends. From age 11, I've known him. And that was tough. But I spent a week with him in the Royal Hospital in Leicester. A week with him because I've been reading the Bible. He didn't want me to sing, but I was ready to sing. But I was reading the Bible. I was talking to him. The oncology doctor came over, and I was a great witness. I thought, well, I'm going to use my opportunity. Even with the oncology doctor came over, and we had a great chat. I talk about the Lord Jesus. I talk about death. And I talk about my friend Kevin. But, you know, same age, same everything. So, thank God. And what was really sad, you know, hardly, it wasn't much of a funeral. It was pure cremation, where they just have cremation whenever. And in the end, I was asked to do a little service at the crematorium. And anyway, it's quite sad. But, you know, life is so short. And we know for the Christian where we're going, don't we? We're going to heaven. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. You know, he so loved us. Sometimes we can feel so unloved sometimes. It can be a cruel world out there. But we've got a God who loves us, you know, people, just as we are. Hey, praise God. Black, white, purple, pink, yellow, doesn't matter. What a God. What a God. And that's what I say on the streets. That's what I say as I go around. We've got this amazing God. And we've got this message. He is not here. That's why I've highlighted there. Right? Can you see it? He's not here. He's risen. What a message we have for a lost world. Not about a dead guru gone years ago. but alive, a living Saviour who lives in us. Well, I could say so much more about that. What a message we have. And what I love, actually, did you notice that? Was it in verse 9? Look at Matthew 28 again, where they talk about they worship, how they how they worship the Lord. Was it verse 9 in Matthew 20? Sorry?
They took hold of
the speech.
It's what? They took hold of
the speech
and worshipped
him. That's it. They worshipped him. They worshipped him. They saw the Lord. Oh, the love, the wonder. How are we worshipping him today? With all our hearts. With all our very being. What a Saviour. So, the message. The angel, don't be afraid. But then, as you always get, thirdly, I want you to notice the misinformation. What do I mean by that? Verses 11 to 15, and I'm not going to put my verse here. What do I mean by the misinformation? All I'll say is verse 11 to 15. What was going on now in our story? I want to make sure everybody's still with me.
Fake news.
Fake news. Well done, John. Right, John, what was the fake news?
Fake news. Love it. Yeah, you can.
So the guy came and said that the Lord of the chief priests called an hour. And when they assembled the elders and council together, they gave arms and money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say if the silence came by night and stole him away what he was."
Incredible. That's fake news. Yeah. Misinformation. The authorities, they didn't want to know. That it can't be real. No, 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 don't. Let me put that up there. Not that I didn't trust you all. Okay? It's all up there, near enough what John read. That's the ESV. Verse 30. Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away. While we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ear, misinformation. And do you know what? Even today, there are still what we call cover-ups, isn't there? It's a big cover-up by the authorities. No, this Jesus. No, no, no. We don't want to know. Suppress. Don't talk about Jesus. But do you know what? I remember when I was saved. Yes, I keep going on about Boys Brigade Camp because I love Boys Brigade camps and I love the talk of Boys Brigade going on here. I'll forgive you because it's holiday time. Tim said no Boys Brigade this week, so it's Easter, so I won't say anything, that's fine. But you know, Boys Brigade was where I came to know and love the Lord Jesus. And I went to that camp all those years ago, people. I only wanted football and cricket, especially if we can beat the English in cricket, West Indies.
Yes,
I did. And that's all I was interested in, sports. Until that night. The chap says, and I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to tell you again. You're in a swamp, Dalton. You're not in a marquee, as you're thinking. You're in a swamp. And I wanted to hit him because he said I was in a swamp when I sat in the chair. Cut a long story short. He said, the more you wriggle in that swamp of your life, the deeper you're going to sink. And I suddenly realized, you know, after three times he said it, he then said, if you die without God, you go to hell. And I thought, well, these Christians, you know what they're like. Some of them are a bit, they're not quite with it. It's emotional blackmail. I thought, no. But you know, when I went to my tent, I was restless. I really was. I thought, what if what this preacher man is saying is true? What if? Can I afford to live my life without God? Can I really? And die to be separated from it for all eternity? Well, in the end, I ask the Lord Jesus into my life. Hope you can still hear me. I'm still being picked up. We're okay. I ask the Lord Jesus into my life. And over 40-odd years ago, pretty odd years ago, the Lord saved me. And you know, since he saved me and brought me back from darkness to light, I feel almost like a man called Spurgeon, where when he was saved on a snowy night, it was a visiting preacher, and this man named Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was converted, and on the snowy night, he went out, and he was so excited. He wanted to preach to the snowflakes, to tell him all that God had done, that he'd been saved. And this is what happens, you see. When the Lord changes, when he gives you a new purpose and a new direction in your life, you cannot but tell. We've got people. We've got to go and tell. If I've been, you know, too much for some of you, don't worry. I won't be back till August. But what a God. What a Savior. So be careful. There's misinformation around. But we know, we believe the truth. The truth that's in the Lord's, in God's word. And then fourthly, I want you to notice this. The mandate. Oh yes, the mandate. What's the mandate given to all of us? Come on, I want you guys, you should be able to tell me, and I'm not going to put my next bit on. Other than Tim, who would... Sorry? Praise God, sister. Go into all the world. And where do we find that in Matthew 28? Where is it?
19.
Sorry?
Verse 19.
Read verse 19 then, John.
Who therefore make the Sabbath of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Praise. And that's our mandate. I couldn't help it. You see, look, Papa. Capital G, if I meant to put up a proper O as well. Go. That's our mandate. And some of you may think, well, don't, you know, I'm 65, I'm 75, I'm whatever, five or whatever. You know, we can break, aren't we? We may still feel we can't, you know, go out necessarily and be, you know, speak to anybody. We can pray. We can pray. We could be on our knees. But that mandate still stands. The Lord Jesus, he says, go. And do you know what? When we go, I'm going to give you three P's I want everybody to remember tonight. Lots you got to remember. When you go, number one, you can know the personal presence of Jesus. He says, go. I will be with you. Go. Secondly, when you go, you can know the personal protection of Jesus. Yes, sometimes we need protection. You never know. Sometimes who we're going to get. David, he's going to be with me. He's going to protect you. Thirdly, you can know the personal promise of Jesus. I will be with you. And it's real. Do we believe it, people? Don't squib. I couldn't hear it. Do we believe it?
Yes.
Of course we do. Praise God. What a God. What a mandate. And do you know what stirs me more and more? And I love this. Is it Proverbs 29:18? Without a vision. Who's going to finish it? Without a vision, the people perish. Oh, may God give us such a vision for the lost, even in our day. Please, please, we can't afford to just be comfortable and think we've arrived. We're doing our bit in church. We're turning up, we're supporting the ministry, we're doing that. Oh, to catch a vision. Because there's people perishing out there without God. I often think, and I know I'm a bit, you know, you think of the rock, I don't know, a bit gone, but I often think of FA Cup finals when they're singing a bard with me. Sometimes I'd love to go and preach at Wembley after the finish. I would. I said, oh, some of them are doing. Lord, please let me. I would. Just, I only need 3 minutes. You know, I'd write to the broadcast. Just give me 3 minutes after that. Just to preach the gospel. Well, there we are. What a God. What a mandate. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And this is what I quoted earlier. Without a vision, without the vision, the people perish. But one more thing I want you to remember this. What sort of world are we living in? What sort of a world? We must go to a what? Lost and broken world. Sin has messed up. You have messed up and I've messed up, haven't we? Yeah, we've all messed up. But do you know what? Even when we've messed up, God doesn't give up on us. Hey. Please, he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't break us and tell us we're no good. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. So however you feel tonight, you may not feel as excited or whatever as I seem to feel, but we could still be praising God now. What a God. Well, we praise God for all that. But before you go, what did I say? I hope that will go to a blank screen. Yes. What was that for? We had 4 points, didn't we? What did we say? Point number one, we said the greatest... we said the greatest Sunday in history. Point number one, the miracle. Point number two, the... Point number three, the... Point number four, the... Mandate. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you are. Thank you for loving us, for saving us. If there's any here tonight, Lord, who have grown cold, they're not what they used to be, Lord, please bring them back. May they pray even, Lord, give me oil in my lamp so that I may be kept burning for you. And if there's any here who have never really put their faith and trust in you, Lord, help them to do it tonight, not tomorrow, not later, now, tonight. Oh, may they call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. And help us, Lord, never to take these wonderful truths for granted, to love you more with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our very being. Amen. Well, I've chosen this wonderful hymn. And I love it, because when I came in, the clarinet was playing with it, and I'm going to get it. Yes, well, okay, you know me, all my instruments are no good. But when it's finished, this is one of the greatest hymns. Look at the words. I love it. Absolutely lovely. Love it. Charles Wesley. "'Tis finished, the Messiah dies, cut off from sin, but not his own. Accomplished is the sacrifice, a great redeeming work is done." And then if you cast your eyes down with me to verse 3, "The reign of sin and death is o'er, and all may live from sin set free. Satan has lost his mortal power, 'tis swallowed up in victory. Saved from the legal curse I am, my Saviour hangs on yonder tree. See there the meek expiring lamb, 'tis finished, he expires for me." Ah.